Hello, good morning, everyone. Or if you're in Luxembourg, good evening. I hope your Tuesday is going well. Heute ist Dienstag, ja? Mein Deutsch ist, let's just say, kaput. We are so glad to be speaking to our next guest, focusing more on the short films that are changing the world. We're excited to speak with Cyrus Nechvad about his film, The Red Suitcase, which is an eye-opening look into a culture that very many people on this side of the world probably know about. It's still happening. It's important. And Cyrus, we are so glad to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. How are things in your world?
So I was born in Iran and grew up in Luxembourg. So here in Luxembourg, all is good, but it's not the same, I could say, from Iran, where all is different.
How are you preparing for this this festival, this upcoming Academy Awards? How did your wonderfully poignant, very tension-filled short, how did it start to come from your head? How did you get it out into the world?
So I was basically preparing my future movie, which we will shoot in March. So as this was getting in place, I had 1 year ago all the time my parents connected to Iran because half of my family is still living there. And basically 1 year ago, we had this news that women were disappearing. And they don't even go to prison. They were just disappearing because they took their chador off, or they did things which was not happy for their country. And basically, I came up with this idea to do something in Luxembourg connected to the woman from Iran. Basically, it happened like this. It grew up like this. Then I decided to put a young girl, a 16-year-old girl with the hijab, and put her in a in an airport, because airport is with traveling and so on. And these two matches good together, and that was the point of beginning.
Well, I'm going to make a parallel here. When I've heard a comedian, a famous comedian, talk about improv, he says it's when you step backwards and you start to take in what's happening to you, and you use that to tell the story. What I find fascinating about the Red Suitcase is that we know very little about this girl, except that she seems troubled. And the more you step back, the more the world starts to unfold and you learn more about her story. It's very still, it's very quiet, it's like quicksand. So how did that stillness find itself in the film? And was that were you looking to do something that told a lot visually and less narrative-wise or with words?
Exactly. I didn't want to give all the details about the girl. I just wanted to put a girl who has a hijab, and a girl in a hijab being anxious. You're no empathy for her. You think perhaps there's something wrong, and you begin to judge her. And then there is a call. She's alone, and slowly I wanted to go inside of what's going on, because in the beginning you can judge her and say perhaps something is wrong with the luggage, perhaps she has a bomb, perhaps here, perhaps there, and slowly to bring up her conflicts by silently with few words. She gets a call, it's her father, so we might think the father is waiting for her, and to not give the details straight, because then the audience is also more interested to what's going on.
Well, I find it fascinating because you can sense the trouble in her eyes when she takes the hijab off. You can sense that what everything that she's doing feels out of her comfort zone, and just being in this airport is out of her comfort zone. So it's an exercise in terror, but also how she manages to, I like to use the expression, like frogs jump from a lily pad to a lily pad. You have just a little bit of stability and you find the next one, and you never know what's going to be sure footing or not. So, how did the length of the film find itself, helping help the narrative be as compelling as it is?
So the movie is 18 minutes. So during this first 5 minutes, as you said, it's she has to go out. This is terrifying her. So we want to know why. And this moment has to be longer because, you know, because we know that for her, going out of this airport means a trouble. We might think it's a trouble because of the police, but the police enters and slowly we discover it's nothing with the police. Perhaps she stole the luggage and they open the luggage. And there is only some drawings. There are clothes. There is some this pistache from Iran. And they see, no, there is nothing in the luggage. Then they think that perhaps she stole this luggage from somebody else. And they found out through the paintings that the name of the paintings concords to the passport. So it means it's her luggage. And then they say, you can go. And the audience understand it's nothing to do with police. So it's something behind these doors, which is terrifying her. And she cannot go out of there. She's going back to the toilet. And there is coming this metaphoric way also to take this hijab off. In the movie, she's taking the hijab off because she saw a guy with flowers. So we understand it's coming something for her or some. We understand actually it's a future husband. And she takes this hijab off to get away in the diegetic world of this movie. But in the metaphoric world is, I don't accept what's going on. I don't accept the life my parents want to give me. And I don't accept all these traditions. So that's why it's terrifying for her, because she was grew up with this idea to be a good Muslim, to listen to the father, to marry somebody she doesn't want, to serve him, to sleep with a guy she doesn't like, just because it's written for their traditions. And all this she's taking away by taking this hijab off, saying, no, I don't want to do this. And she's coming to the store and she's going out and the guy doesn't recognize her because of all these hairs. And this is the beginning of, I want to be free.
Yeah. And I feel like all of that needs time to flourish and make itself to come out organically. I mean, it seems very fast and furious towards the end, but there's so much uncertainty. And I think that is what is brilliant about the film. It's these layers of, not to say misdirection, but just uncertainty. And you feel like you're taking the journey with her. I have a 7-year-old daughter, so I can only imagine what the father on the other end of the phone is thinking, feeling, having to put his family in this situation because it is tradition or it's expected. And just the ability to or the strength to stand up and say, I disagree or say no, it takes a lot of courage. So it's very powerful. Please go on. How's the reaction to this?
To get in these emotions and to go with her to the journey, one thing we had to set up with my editor is that the movie had to be slow. So we decided to do this movie and slow and very quiet, because you could think that it has to go fast, and we decided not to cut the shots, to take long shots and very slow. The slower the movie was, I think the more terrifying it is, because we are going close to the reality. So that's why the lightning is very real. Everything was happening very real. I tried to have the mise en scène, the directing, everything close to the reality, slow and handheld, so that we could nearly be to some kind of documentary.
Yeah.
It makes that the audience has more empathy for her because it's real. It's really happening. Mm-hmm. Like to use the sounds of the airport, to be quiet and not too much music. You know, it was very important also to put music here and there, but very, very little.
Yeah. And also the lack of characters. I imagine a lot of people might have asked how you were able to secure an airport or get such a wide open spaces in such a public area. How did you stage the shoot so you could just focus on the future husband, the girl, the police officers, and void of a lot of background noise that might detract from the story?
So as we see, the movie is happening very light and late in the night. So there are not so many people. So we wanted to stay the most clear to the reality, because I went to the airport before and I saw at midnight there are only 2-3 flights, so there are really no people. So this time it makes that the airport it's quite empty and quiet. So which makes it that you can just use small details of the noise of, you know, the speaker or and so on, to go through all this. And then we understand also that the father gave money to her for her, you know, for her wedding in Iranian money, and she's going there to change this money, and she got a packet of money like this, you know, like 100, and when you change it, it's only 30 euro. So we understand also the value of the money is very down, and that you know that the country is in a very bad position. And what is interesting in the all this money, it's the head of the Khomeini, you know, which brings us again back visually to Iran.
Yeah. And you can see the look on her face. She doesn't understand why she thinks she has this great, let's just say a treasure chest or a purse, and then she finds out the reality of it. It's a continual series of shocks which add to the story.
Exactly. And then we understand also, because at that moment the future husband is passing, said, where is the girl, and so on, and we understand that he understands that she has red luggage. So she takes this hijab she took off and she put this on the luggage to get out, that the luggage should not be seen. So this is the diegetic way of the movie. But one thing we should know, that in this luggage is all the painting, art, and so on and so on. And Iran, it's not allowed to do art. So this also metaphoric, that put this hijab, this black hijab on the art, to say also that art is not accepted in Iran.
I didn't pick up on that. And that's another thing I was going to ask. So what is something that maybe outside of the culture, outside of the country, people should look for to be able to notice the cultural significance of certain things?
Yeah, all these things is that you see through this movie that the woman has no right in Iran. That's why they can do this to the girl. A woman is not allowed to do anything with the consent of the husband. This is a rule in Iran. If a woman wants to go abroad or something like that, the husband has to sign a paper that he's allowed, she's allowed. A husband can have few wives without the consent of the woman. A woman, at the when there is a party at a house, a woman is not allowed to dance. A woman is not allowed to come. She has to cook. And all these rules are against the woman. So the woman has anyway no rights. So that's why this girl happening to happen all this to her. And why she is not going to the police, why she's not doing this, because she has no idea it can work out. Because she knows that she is already imprisoned in her head. And taking the hijab off and doing the first step to run away is something very, very, very difficult to do, even for a girl who's 16. So that's why everything for her is going so slowly.
Well, if it's not too bold to ask, you still have family in Iran. I have a friend who has his family is still in Iran. How is your family doing?
Yeah, right now it's very difficult for this part. A lot of part of my family left, but a lot of part cannot leave because, you know, they have a house, they have a life, they go somewhere and they cannot leave. You know, when you go outside, you go to the bakery, the guy, you know, it's difficult to leave this country and leave. Let your house, yet everything you have, go somewhere where you don't understand people and so on. So a lot of people are staying there. And for the family, I know that the children are going a lot on the street. I mean, children, I mean, 20, 25, they are fighting because they are fed up. But the older generation, they are not so much involving themselves. But it's this young generation who are going out and fighting against everything. And that's why what was important for this movie, that I take a young girl, because I wanted to be connected to this young generation who's fighting against the power. This older generation is not fighting. They are scared. You know, the older you get, the more scarier you get to do anything. The younger generation, they don't ask any question about what can happen, if I can die or not. They just go for it. And that's why I took a girl, and she should be young, to connect to really what's happening. I mean, to Iran. But now everybody knows it. But at that time, I knew that these things were going on.
And I'm glad that there are opportunities for short films to make make impact and bring more worldly awareness. Riz Ahmed's short film a couple of years ago won the Oscar. Then there was one called The Present about a father and daughter. and just all these things that there's so many pockets of tension and control that need to be made more aware. So I'm glad that things like the Red Suitcase exist. How can people get out? How can people break free, so to speak?
From Iran or in this movie now?
Well, I guess in Iran.
To get out of the country?
Yes.
As I said, you could get out, but you know, you cannot sell your house how you sell your house, how you come out. You could only live there if you have family or people who will take care of you, because otherwise is really, and today you can even not live anymore. I mean, today they are really, really strict, and especially for the woman, because a lot of people would like perhaps to leave. So they are very careful now. Mm. And even myself, when we left in 79, I mean, the border was closed, the planes were not flying, and we got the last bus to get out, you know, after they closed all the borders. So it's not that easy. A lot of people came out of Iran, and the life was so difficult here, and they felt so lonely. When you get out of the country and you just don't speak the language, you're lonely all the day. So what you will do? Sit in an apartment room and watch your wall. So then a lot of people went back.
Well, let's round this interview out by speaking about casting a young girl to play this character and to be, in a way, a beacon of what could be and poise and strength. How did the casting process work?
I needed somebody who can live this situation. So I went to Paris. I found 20 girls who did the casting, especially the scene when she's taking out her hijab. And when she did this, I really believed it. And that's it. And I believed that she was really doing this. I said, it's you. The reality. She gave me a reality of the situation. She was not playing the role. She was the role. So it was for me easy to pick her up for the role. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, and I know from watching films for so long, it is so much the subtlety in a look or just the stillness of something is important. And that tells a story in and of itself. What is great about this is also just you can see the wheels turning. You could see the processing. And I think that, you know, the casting was great, but I think everything came together in a way to make this story so insanely compelling. So I think that it's getting the recognition it deserves. So yeah, I'm happy to be speaking to you about this, about the praise and the possible Academy Award contender. So when did you first get word of of this being on the short list, so to speak?
Yeah, so we won the Oscar qualifying award in a festival, and actually I was really surprised, because in the moment we won the Oscar qualifying award, it was the second festival I was doing. So I was prepared to do 1 year of festivals and then to win my Oscar qualifying award, and I won it in the second festival, so I was really surprised. And after that, we won the Oscar qualifying award the second time in Hawaii last week. So we won it twice now, the Oscar qualifying award. And I was surprised and really happy about that. One thing I wanted to point out on this story, it's when we watched this short movie, we say, yeah, look, people there in Iran and so on and so on. And actually we Occident, we take us in a good place, and to somehow judge, you know, it's normal because it's horrible. But I wanted to equilibrate a bit, so I put in this movie a lot of posters of publicity behind her from our life. You know, there is a poster of a woman of a cell phone, you know, and the cell phone is sold by using the face of a young girl. There is a poster of champagne, and it's sold by showing a very sexy woman with a big décolleté. There is a one to sell a bag showing naked legs, or selling a pizza to show the mouth of the girl. So we are using also somehow misusing the woman to sell. So we are also abusing somehow the woman to get on one point. So it's here also the reality of this problem is existing. It's not just existing in Iran. In Iran, everybody talks about it, but here it's also existing. That's why the last shot of the movie, I do a traveling on the last publicity where we see a girl who is smiling and selling shampoo. But when the camera is going close to her, we see that she's not really smiling, that she also is sad.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I wasn't sure if I saw it, almost looked like a small look of terror. So I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't sure if I made that out. That's brilliant.
We did the morphing on the picture. So we needed about 10 days to do this shot. Because if you do too much morphing, it's looking awful. If you don't do enough, you don't see anything. So we had to go to balance this to see that there is some unhappiness in the girl in the Occident, because they are using her face, her teeth, and so on to do what? To sell shampoo. You
know? Yeah. No, I'm so glad you brought that up, Cyrus.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, then let's end this on a bit of a light note.
Light note of this movie is that this girl, she lost her money, she lost her hijab, she lost her luggage, she lost everything she had, but she's free.
And it's scary too, because she's continually, you know, hiding and running and dodging and just missing, and you really want the best for her, but it's so... It's true to life in that you don't know what's going to happen, but at least she's in a better place. She's taking control of her own destiny.
She's taking control, and that's the price you have to pay for you being free. Absolutely. And what she's doing, she's switching off the phone to not have the father anymore. So she's breaking up with all the past. So now she's free. So this was the positive note in the movie. So I didn't know the positive note you wanted to tell, but...
Well, I was going to say my favorite snack is Sohan, the pistachio brittle. What do you have, a favorite treat or something from your home that you love?
We eat a lot of Persian rice with different sauce. So wherever we go, it's rice with something.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I will say Mamnoon, Kurosh. Thank you for your time. Everyone, check out the Red Suitcase. We're going to hold up both hands and cheer for you when we see you take the stage at the awards. So
thank you so much. And the movie is on the platform, so people are free to go watch it. And even if it's for seeing how the woman life in Iran it is.
Excellent. Well, we will catch you next time.
Thank you so much for having me.